Welcome, 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 Real Stories Podcast listeners, to a special Weinstock edition of Real Stories Podcast with Graham and
Brian.
So we had a Weinstock meeting tonight, and we decided let's throw a podcast together about Weinstock, the sort of history of Weinstock.
And we've been talking about this for quite a while now. We wanted to have something ready maybe a couple weeks beforehand as kind of an advertising tool, but at the end of the day, we just, you know, typical kind of life gets in the way, and we waited till the last minute, but we got it. So we have 6 to 8 people in the studio at any given time.
Yeah, there's a bunch of us in there. This is really just like a big group conversation that we're going to let you guys in on. It's sort of like a behind the scenes of Weinstock. There's although some editing, you'll tell there's some background noise. There's a lot of people. There's probably about 30 people.
Yeah.
In the vicinity while we're recording this, and you can hear people in the background, and I think it makes it kind of fun.
Lots of voices, lots of opinions, lots of stories.
So yeah, it's cool. So we hope you guys enjoy just a little behind the scenes of the planning and a little bit of history of the Weinstock Music Festival, which is a music festival in Wyandotte County. If you're unaware, it's always right around July 4th, except for the first year, and it happens to be coming up this weekend.
Yep.
So, all right, we'll get to the show.
We should talk first about Weinstock being this week. So that'll kind of loosen everybody up, and we can talk about, like, okay, that's coming up, and then we'll dive into it.
We've got the meeting because tonight we stuff bags.
Yep.
And we put, so everybody that works at Weinstock gets a t-shirt that's a crew shirt, but we chose crew.
Crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The crew. So anyway, and so we're all here. It's me and Brian and Zach Morrill and Greg Moon. I'm using last names here.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
And Alex Barth and Scott Bowes and Dan Heyman and Dan Biller. And we're a small part of the group that has mostly done Weinstock for the last 10 years. There's up to 100 more people, you know, that help out every year and do lots of stuff. But we happen to have mostly been the ones that do, like, the pre-work.
Let's face it. What it comes down to is tonight we were here, and we had the ability to record a show, so we wanted to get something
agreed
out.
Yeah. So we need a fourth person on the the other mic.
But
then we need to rotate in and out.
So one of these guys is going to have to come in here.
Greg, will you come in? Because I want to hear about – I know that we started – it really – the YP started at Muggsy's, if I remember right. And this idea was Barth at Muggsy's. It was like you had thought about it with Greg before.
It was that place in Cary. Splinters.
Splinters. Yeah.
Splinters.
Okay.
Yeah. It was Splinters.
You just met at Splinters to have dinner?
No, we had the meeting there. The YP meeting.
That was the first
meeting.
YP meeting.
Yeah. And actually, Jordan Lawrence and I were talking about it on the way to Splinters.
There it was. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, Weinstock, you mean?
A music festival.
All right.
Because he was talking to me about a fundraiser. And the YP had done the cornhole tournament, and it was, like, terrible.
That's when
all the, like...
It wasn't terrible.
That's when the, like, all-stars showed up or whatever.
Yeah, they were real intense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Jordan was like, we need to come up with something better. And I selfishly, because we were in a band at the time, was like, we should have a music festival.
Why not, right?
And it worked.
And it worked.
And everyone, it's crazy because I thought people would be like, I don't know. But everyone was like, yes, like immediately. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
fast forward 10 years later, and here we are.
Who,
right? Or 11 years
who
later,
named it?
I think, that was at our house
on
Walker Street, and we were watching Wayne's World 2 was on, and I actually said it. I remember Nick was there, and we were talking about names, and Jess was there, and I was like, Weinstock, and both of them immediately were like, perfect.
I like it.
Yep.
Good story.
I think the Weinstock name is, first time I heard it, I thought, wow, that's like Weinstock.
I forgot that it was Nick Vaughn, but it was Nick Vaughn.
He was there.
Yeah.
Nick was involved early on when we had platform stages that we built, 4x8, you know, pieces
that's
of plywood.
What I remember Zach playing the cajon for Christian Cole on that stage. Mm-hmm. That's where last minute, that stage, we built that stage. It was on the west side.
We did.
It was on, like, the back side.
There was a real small one with maybe like two four by eight sheets.
Yeah.
And then we had a larger one that we put together out of a bunch of 4x8 sheets.
That was a little taller. Mm-hmm. It was like a back. The back
was a hay wagon.
No, we did use a hay wagon.
There was a hay wagon. I think at one point.
The second year, because we were like, okay, that stage rebuilt was fine, but it wasn't.
We
need
to step up a little bit.
Yeah. We also, was it year one that we had the Lubox
Army truck.
Or the Army
as the backdrop.
Which Nick Vaughn was also a part of.
That was Nick Vaughn's
baby. Yeah, because he was in charge of the waters.
That was later on. That was like the other six or seven.
No.
We 100% had it the first year.
We did. We parked it behind the stage. The stage was the fairgrounds that you had to piece together. A bunch of 4x8 platforms.
Oh, yeah. We got them out of the
and then level it all out, and it was a huge pain. And we did that for 2 or 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
And then we started renting a stage. But we still constructed our side stage ourselves.
Brian Kimmel with the mats. Mm-hmm. He always brought the mats.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. We covered everything with the mat with those big outdoor mats so that it made it. It was like part of the structure.
At least the drum sets didn't move.
Some years.
It was a lot of work. And then we had our original sound and lighting guy was a character. And we used him for probably 4 or 5 years until we eventually booted him.
Yep.
For a better crew.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Jester's the man.
Yeah. He's... Well, so Tom Danner, though, right?
Tom Danner was...
Is who... And Jester. He brought Jester.
The guys from Marion.
Jester's fantastic.
They run a lot of the stages at the Popcorn Festival and lights and everything, and they did a great job.
Made Grape Jam sound pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm. He did. He's always been our best mixer.
At the Popcorn Fest.
Than Coomer.
Obviously.
For those listening, that's not true.
Who can remember all the oddball bands that have been there? What was the one from Detroit? The blues guys.
Yeah, David Gerald. That guy was good. he played a lot of Stevie Ray Vaughan. Of course, he was good.
Acoustic Hookah.
Yeah, the Acoustic Hookah year was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I feel like that was like an iconic year.
The biggest name you've probably had. I mean, the Y Store everybody seemed to know, but
yeah, because who great. Was Mike Perkins?
Yeah,
opened up for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he brought. I mean, they brought crowds from all over, which was nice to bring to Upper. But
yeah, it was a different vibe.
More than Upper has seen in a long, long time.
Well, certainly too. Yeah. Leading up to that point, like the closing band was always just a cover band, and everybody like the people who had a night off the party would go out and party that night.
They were good though, they had a good time. Yeah. They wanted to come back.
I talked to Paul about this morning, Paul James, and you know you just go with what the market will bear.
Are you name dropping Paul James right now?
I was having coffee with Paul James this morning. I was talking to him about that. Like you got to kind of do what the market will bear, right? I think this is going to be a great year.
Oh,
all the bands. Year 10.
It's number 10, man.
It's 2 days. All the bands are good. I mean, it's all local bands. I like that a lot.
Yeah. So then we bought the Rexlore trailer. Rexlore? Is that what it is?
Yeah, Rexlore Transport.
That thing was a liability.
It was. It was a rust bucket.
Well, but never caused a problem.
Yeah, well, no. 3 years ago, Paul Wagner was hauling it up, or Jeremy Klein, who I forget who hauled it.
Yeah, Klein.
He hauled it up there, and he said, something fell off. I didn't stop. I just kept coming. I don't know what it was. So, but I think it was like one of the air brake pancakes.
Okay.
So it may not be.
As long as it wasn't that massive ladder in the back of it.
Yeah, but Scott and Drew did a great job shoring that thing up when we first got it.
For sure. They did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we've also, over the years, like had tons of merch and some great shirts. I think. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
At least to me, some of my favorite shirts.
Some of the great designs from local artists.
What's your favorite? Kimmel, get in here.
Oh, is Brian Kimmel here?
Kimmel.
Oh, there you go.
Brian Kimmel just got here. Yeah. Kimmel, what do you think the best shirt we've ever done was.
By far, it was, I believe it was like poop brown. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
With the yellow?
Yes.
With the gold?
Well, no, I think it had American, it was the American flag.
It was like 17 colors. Oh, yeah. You still won't let us get more than two. What the hell?
Absolutely not. Well, every time I talk about having another brown shirt, I get voted down.
That year was on the 4th. And yes. That shirt was cool.
Man. That was the only year that we held the festival on the 4th of July.
Which is
why we did the shirt.
That's correct.
Like that.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Is that when we started doing the fireworks too?
When did the fireworks start coordinating with us?
Yeah, they used to run along
for most of it.
It wouldn't have been that year because it's more expensive to put the fireworks.
Yep.
It's been within the last 5 years, maybe? Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was a conscious effort that, hey, the fireworks need to coincide with Weinstock. You know, you're doing this around this time, we're doing this around this time, why don't we make something amazing?
Okay, let's take a quick break and just remind you that you're listening to Real Stories Podcast, and we're talking today about the Weinstock Music Festival, which is in its 10th year here in Wyandotte County, and you're just getting a lot of reminiscing here. Hopefully you guys are following along. There's a lot of voices coming at you. But mostly just everybody chit-chatting about their favorite memories. It's pretty cool. So stick around at the end. I will try to sum up some things that we missed on a little addendum. Anyway, we'll get back to it.
So Dan Biller's here, and Dan has designed several of the shirts lately, and most of them this year. So sit down in there in that seat and tell us, like, your motivation, because like the artwork is sweet and original.
I think they look great.
So tell us like your motivation,
because you've been doing this for like coming up with designs for a few years now.
Yeah, I just kind of in the evenings at home is kind of relaxing time.
So it's doodling.
I sit and watch maybe some TV and just doodle for an hour every night. I come up with an idea and then I usually scratch it and then come up with another idea and then scratch it. And then when I finally find one that I think I like, then I'll show it to somebody.
But you're doing everything on an iPad, right? Yeah. Nothing pencil and paper. Like
it's all an iPad.
Yeah.
Well, I take that back. The first year I did the Arrowhead.
That was pencil.
That was pencil to acrylic paint.
Gotcha.
And I got it. Yeah. I got it copied.
Yeah.
But this past year Tiffany got me an iPad for Christmas. So that's all I use now because you can do that, all kinds of stuff with it.
Yeah.
Procreate.
But you're still drawing with a
stylist.
A stylist. Yeah.
Yeah. The iPad pencil.
The Apple pencil.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Oh, I'm sure. Because you can change the color.
I think we need that iPad for the square reader.
We do. We're
using it. And that's its own talent.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Do that digitally versus.
I feel like it's, well, yeah, all art is art and awesome.
Yeah, it's more than I'm capable of.
So this year there's one that's got some drumsticks.
Yep.
The X.
It's the X for the 10. X.
For Weinstock 10.
10.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love it. We should have done it.
Then
we
the piece.
Done a Pearl Jam.
There's one that's like a peace sign with a Volkswagen van. Well, with a nondescript van in it, a hippie van. And then what else is in there? Is there
a
guitar?
It's Combi, I think, is the term you're looking for.
It's record
spinning,
with a peace sign.
Yes, with the vans kind of spinning the record.
It's a Combi.
A Combi?
Our international fans will know about the Combi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, Dan's done an awesome job.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Alex did designs in the past.
Yeah, yes. Last year, Barth did you did a poster, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we raffled that off, and that was cool.
Your hands were amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they're hanging up right there.
Oh, the detail on those hands.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, get those out from behind that bag there. Let's check them out.
And we've also had local artists, because we had some Mustard Seed Marketplace did the two hands holding the sunshine one year.
Oh, yeah, with the yellow shirts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, all right, we're going to take a quick break and a word from Weinstock.
A great weekend's what you're dreaming of. Come to Weinstock, share the love. Get your groove on, don't contain it. It's a time for entertainment.
Under the oak trees, summer fun. We got a song for everyone.
A perfect summer staycation.
Now you got your destination
at Weinstock.
Come on out and have some fun
at Weinstock.
We're all.
All right. The Weinstock promo there that was written by Ben Zissler and Jordan Treadway back on my back porch probably in 2015 or 16. So shout out to those guys for that. Hey, as we come back into the show here, you know, hopefully you guys are hanging with the chaos. We were actually still talking about some artwork that Alex Barth had made last year. Alex Barth has made a ton of artwork for us over the years. And I did want to leave out, you know, some of the other ones just off the top of my head, like Delaney McQuown, who made some awesome guitar work and cool hippie kind of artwork back in the day. And then Ellie Niedekor had a few. Emma Stanley has done one. Ruth Baldwin did a really cool sunburst one a couple years ago. The list just goes on and on. And if I, you know, could remember them all, I would mention everybody. If I left you out, I apologize. But as we come back in here, you'll hear Alex Barth. We're talking about this one Alex Barth did. And then the conversation continues. So hopefully you guys are following along and enjoying this episode. We'll get back to it.
Yeah. This is sweet really with good. The hands.
And Ellie Niedekor did a design.
Here we are.
Yes.
Yeah. We are one. Yes. Bam.
So like, we've got a Wayne Stock
Play-Doh
t-shirt that's kind of
here we are, we are one should be our Wayne Stock motto for this year.
It was for last year. It should be for always.
It's funny because those are like lyrics from a Kiss song. I mean, I came up with it.
Tears are falling.
Okay, what do we know about the bands that are playing there this year? Who are you most excited about?
Grape Jam. Last Minute, I think.
Obviously
Grape Jam, you know. But honestly, like, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys play again. But I'm excited. I think Last Minute's a good band. And I really like their...
Absolutely.
Dan, like, tell us who your band you're looking forward to.
My Cousin Eddie.
Yeah, those guys are good, too.
My favorite My Cousin Eddie is I was kind of tired and walking around and just, you know, shopping for food, things like that. Got a little food, sat down in the sunshine, and I'll admit I was like half paying attention to what's on the stage. And My Cousin Eddie dropped Mr. Blue Skies by ELO. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Because their mix is amazing.
It is. Yeah.
They have a great playlist.
I like to hear somebody live just drop Mr. Blue Skies out of nowhere.
Yeah, they did that pretty well, awesome. Too.
Yeah.
To Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah. Oh, Glass Onion. Yeah, or was it Glass Forest?
Yeah.
When they did, they came out with Rage Against the Machine. And
anybody that can back ELO and Rage Against the Machine.
I'm down.
Yeah. Glass Forest, right, by the way, is only not back this year because they're, I think, bass player, but
two
maybe
or three
drummer.
Maybe? Oh, okay.
Had a baby.
Yeah.
It, or maybe actually like right about now is having a baby. It was like his wife was due the week before Weinstock.
Bro, all I'm saying is that Tom Karcher
loves those
guys. I think has had a baby within a week of Weinstock the last 3 years. So maybe you should have tried harder to come this year.
Well, 2018, Mindy played on the main stage.
Yeah.
And Conan was born like 2.5 weeks later.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, man. Nice.
She was real pregnant.
The two bands that I'm just interested in because they're new are Forbidden Jude and the Ridge Runners, two opposite type of bands.
Yeah.
Forbidden Jude, like they've been doing it.
I don't think I know them.
Whiskey Over Water is new, aren't they?
Who?
Oh, Whiskey Over Water.
Are.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They're pretty good.
But I've seen them, and they're definitely good. The girl is awesome in that.
Yeah, she's real good.
Good.
Yeah. And then Crabgrass is new.
Wow.
Have the Fret Mashers played at every Weinstock?
They were not at the first one.
They weren't? Okay.
Who was at the first one?
Give me a second. Okay.
You know what? I feel like Last Minute played, and they played real early, and I feel like they were like ultra young.
They were in high school
almost
kids,
almost every year, if not every year.
They named themselves Last Minute because they needed a name for that show.
Last
they
Minute.
They didn't have one, and they were like, well, that's, it's like so super groovy. Last Minute, and they one of them kept saying, it's like, it's just so Last Minute, and they're like, it's Last Minute. Yeah.
Was it that year that they played the Christmas party then?
They did play the Christmas
or the
party
year after or so.
Okay,
yeah,
I
don't
remember if it was that.
We might have waited until they were older.
Graduated.
Yes. The Christmas party is
it was.
That's a fun time.
Compared to Weinstock, really.
Back in those days.
Oh, yeah.
Early Weinstock days. Good Lord.
10 years ago, pre-kids.
Good Lord. Yeah.
I have the 2014 original Weinstock lineup.
Oh, man. Let's
you want
go.
It. All right. Weinstock.
In a picture?
Stage lineup is complete. June 9th, 2014. 1 o'clock, June Chelsea 9th? Fry.
Oh, yeah. She was awesome. Her.
2 o'clock, Elise Hoffman.
Oh, Hoffman's sister.
Yeah. Oh, oh nice. Yeah.
3 o'clock, Mud Sharks.
Mud Sharks.
4:30, ready? One Ton Diesel.
One Ton.
Yeah. That's right.
They played Jason several. Hill. Yeah.
They did.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
7 o'clock was Radio Flyer.
Yep.
Okay.
Radio.
The last time they were allowed to be called that. I think we put them on the map to a level that they got caught.
Yeah. And then at 10 o'clock, the Champagne of Bands.
Yes.
Was that the year you guys closed with like...
what did we
play?
Blurred
Lines?
No, that was Grape Jam. Grape Jam was Blurred
you
Lines,
sure?
Right?
That
was that Champagne of Bands?
Yeah, that was Champagne.
Man, maybe it was.
I'll tell you a funny anecdote about that first year and Champagne playing. We played, and it was a pretty decent crowd. I mean, it wasn't bad the first year. I think we had like 800 people was the total number. That first year,
it's still more than half what we get now.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's. Yeah.
So, I had to go on vacation the very next day. We had to leave. So it does make that sounds right that it was in June, and so I left right after our set, and I went from being yelled at by hundreds of people, and they're all like blah blah blah, to being in my living room. Within a minute and a half. And it was by myself. It was the weirdest feeling ever. Like 10 minutes earlier, people were like, it was like, I don't want to say it was like the Beatles, but what are we going to do? But then I'm in a silent living room by myself. And I'm like,
oh, that was fun.
It was
hardest come down ever.
Yeah, I needless to say, like someone had to like shake me to get me into the car for vacation the next morning. I was up all night, but I should have stayed at Weinstock. But God, that first year, it was
wild.
We made up everything that we do now. Like we were just making it up as we were doing it. And we do it the same way 10 years later.
Basically. Yeah.
Standing on the shoulders of giants, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've clearly made improvements, but you're right. We did it that year. It was like a full-on music festival. Like,
Each year we do it, it's becoming less and less stressful.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It is. It's so good.
Yeah. When did we go, and I'm sorry if you covered this, when did we go two nights?
I don't, so.
Like 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
It hasn't been very long.
4 years ago? It was even.
Well, 2019, it was pre-COVID.
19 was two nights. 18
was two nights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had talked about it for a while.
That's probably the first
year. No, wait. No, it wasn't. No, it was just July 7th.
Okay, so 18 wasn't.
So maybe 19 was the first year for it.
What's 19's date?
Where's 19?
Yeah, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah. So 19. So we dropped 2 years, and then COVID, and then we had to cancel.
Yeah.
But then we're two nights.
And now we're like 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like 2 days now. What do we have? 17 bands.
17 bands.
17.
So from six.
To 17.
What's the most we've ever had in a year?
I think 17.
17. Okay.
And we had 17 last year.
Yeah.
Also. Or maybe we had 16 last year.
Yeah, probably.
Here's the band list this year. Trevor, on Friday, we start at 2. Trevor Howe, Newgrass. How did you meet? You know Trevor Howe.
He played here. He played at the Steer Barn one night.
Gotcha.
I used to
work with him.
And Scott used to work with him.
Then Newgrass Station, Nebdrula, Gopher Baroque Band. Those guys are awesome.
Gopher?
Party. Even if you don't like their style of music, you like them on stage.
Yeah, I mean,
because there's so much.
It can't be all rock and roll anyway. Like that's not fun. All you can't have that.
I think Gopher drank 10 beers before he went on stage last year.
I wish Frazee were
good
here.
For
Frazee
him.
Talked about coming because knows the guy that plays the banjo or something. He like has to drink 7.
Oh, is that?
But he can't drink 19 or something.
What?
And they, yeah, they
so many they've of us played, can't drink 19.
They've played enough yeah. that he knows. Like, I need to have drank 7.
Here's
beers
my baseline.
We start.
It's
he
7.
Sang with him last year, didn't he?
Yeah, wow. He did. Yeah, yeah he jumped right. And he can't drink 19 by the time he's done.
Jesus.
Yeah, was
that Hawaiian
song?
Crazy thing.
Yeah.
Let's talk dirty in Hawaii.
Let's talk dirty in Hawaii.
I hope Frazee sings something this year.
Oh, great.
I think the best part about that is that story is that Frazee has only been he's been coming around for like the last 5 years, and he wasn't shy about bringing in some new Washington folks.
No, and they come,
and they're fun bands.
Agreed.
And they're good people. I mean, it's like Upper Sandusky, but in
Sandusky
County
all
or Huron County, whatever they are.
Okay, we got bourbon and vinyl from Findlay. Whiskey over water, and I don't know where they're from.
Tiffin, Findlay.
Carrie.
Whiskey over water?
She's from Carrie, I believe.
Okay.
Okay.
We saw them at the New Regal. What's that?
Yeah,
at?
The church festival.
The New Regal Fest, but it's called the drummer, whatever the church
Saint
is.
Mary's.
Over
there.
The drummer was running for mayor of Tiffin when we saw him.
Oh, really?
That's why I know one of them's from Tiffin.
Jeez.
Awesome.
Royalty.
Did he win?
I don't think so.
We've got it.
Okay.
We're like,
then Eric Sauer. Then Eric Sauer's band. Eric Sauer's band.
Yeah.
Last on Friday, and they'll be awesome.
They're good. They're fantastic.
Not every crowd loves them.
First time, what? The second or third year?
Yeah.
I think
when he was.
Probably the
first. He's played.
Probably the first time, first year you pushed it back against the where the stage is now, right?
No, he played once because I remember. I have one of the, episodic memories. I remember leaving at about 11:15, and he was playing, and it was when the stage faced town. The stage faced south.
Yeah, it's where the side stage is.
Where the side
now.
Stage is.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that probably the first year that you moved that side stage or that you moved the stage back there from like up front.
Yeah.
That was a trailer, I believe.
Yeah. And that's probably the first show that he played.
It's cool how we've gone from like, we have like a small stage that then we can get rid of. And then the big stage, everything's been moving down and we've ended up with like, now we have awesome stages.
Yeah. We have two similar
Not that
stages,
we own them,
correctly.
But you know, yeah.
Correct.
Well,
yeah.
I would say that, kind of did it right and reinvested back into the show.
Right.
Yeah.
And by doing that, you build in efficiencies and you add like great setups and great stages and great sound guys. And that's what really gets your production value up and makes your show good.
It does.
It's expensive, but it's worth it.
And I think we've really got the traffic flow well with the merch tent and the beer and the two stages.
We're figuring it out.
Yeah,
I mean, we're generally semi-intelligent people. We're figuring this shit out.
You know what? Speak for yourself.
All right. Yeah.
On July 6th, the second day, noon to midnight, the Fret Mashers, who are like the greatest humans in the world, Tom's Kitchen Table are new. They're from Ashland.
Oh, are they?
Oh,
nice.
Okay.
Yep. They're like, I don't know. They're not bluegrass. Maybe they're new grass. Country.
I think I saw them listed as
they're cool.
Grass
they
somewhere.
Do a bunch of harmonies, like a bunch of great, cool. like really tight harmonies. Then
Crosby, Stills, Nash,
Crabgrass, which is bluegrass, and then the Ridge Runners, which is kind of so like that stuff's all pretty light. It's all pretty like low key stuff. And then Bootleg City Band starts to kick it up. Those guys like rock hard.
Oh yeah.
And, like,
Wait, is that the guys from?
Is that the Southern Rock band or is that?
They're from Marion.
Mary Bucyrus?
Bucyrus.
Yeah,
yeah
those they guys
come
are fun.
From the East.
Yeah. Those guys are fun.
Yes. And then Forbidden June, first year, excited. Grape Jam, who is the remnants of
who?
Grape Jam.
Yeah.
The remnants of the Champagne of Bands. Then my cousin Eddie, who are like kind of new on the scene. I know they've been playing for a while, but they just recently been like playing an upper and they're awesome.
They played Weinstock last year. And I think everybody went, where did these guys come from?
Now, I knew, Matt Muhorter's been talking to me for a few years about how good they are. And he's like wanting to make it work, but they always had a gig book that day.
I think it's great. And they're fun.
Oh, they're awesome.
Yeah. They're fun. Yeah. That's a good way to describe them. They're just fun.
Yeah.
This is going to be the best last like 5 hours of Weinstock.
Oh, yeah.
You're on speaker. We just were talking about you, and we're recording a podcast. So
you're being recorded.
We were just talking about you singing "Let's Talk Dirty" in Hawaiian.
Yeah,
that's a great time when I'm doing that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we're still here. We'll probably be here for a little while if you're in town.
Are the banks and stuff at your house?
Yeah, everything's packed. Yeah,
I'm at Bo's. Bo's playing the championship game right now.
Okay. Oh, nice.
So as soon as he's done,
ask him.
I'll come down.
Okay.
He just got drilled in the middle of the back.
Hey, that's a free base.
Kimmel's got a sawbuck on this game. He needs to know what the score is.
Good for him.
He hit a home run.
What score?
All right, sweet. Yeah, swing down.
What score?
All right, back. Okay, and then last minute and Bass Nautic.
Bass Nautic.
Ben Buckland.
Buckland been closing the show, I think.
Ooh.
Yeah, 10 years?
Almost the whole time.
Yeah,
pretty much. Close.
Yeah,
pretty
almost much. The whole time.
His show's gotten way better, too. Like, oh, it just keeps getting better and better.
I got a couple things to talk about. One is the pizza place that always gives us pizzas at the end of the night.
Yeah. Melissa's?
Is it Melissa's?
Oh, is it? Yeah. Melissa's.
Oh, okay.
Like she's not going to be there this
She's
year.
Not going to be there this
what?
Year.
What?
On the 10th anniversary? Oh.
That's the worst news I heard.
Listen, the funny thing is, he sent me the list the other day, and I looked at him like, Melissa's pizza's not going to be there. What
the hell? That's our dinner every Saturday night.
Yeah. Manny's Munchies has also been a regular, and they were going to be out, but turns out they could do it.
Oh,
and
nice.
Then when
They're
he
awesome.
Found out the pizza place wasn't going to be there, he's like, "Oh, I'll do pizza too."
Let's give them like $100.
So last year,
and he could just supply us with late night munchies.
Last year we were waiting on a pizza and Zach was chatting up some major league femeninas last year.
Oh yeah, he was. Yeah. I remember that. I remember.
Oh yeah, Coomer was there. Coomer got their numbers.
I know Coomer who they were.
So anyway, always good food. The merchandise is as good. The vendors is as good as it's been. The year of acoustic hookah, it stepped up like the merch because all of a sudden it was like glass blowers.
You've seen actual merch.
Yeah. The rockin' gym guy.
That backed his, he's trying to back in.
The guy that had to back his car up for
it. Yeah, I remember that. Jeez. What about Scotty's subs, Zachary's subs? He's always like...
it's under new ownership because he passed away.
Yeah. That's right.
And we talked to him about maybe coming this year, but they would like to be back in the future.
Oh, nice. So. Yeah, well, okay, they're welcome back.
So he's going to be back in the future? Unless the zombie apocalypse happens.
What's Steinauer's business called? They're
old,
back, aren't
old
they?
Old Nut Company? Old Nuts, yeah. No, they can't do it. I think she has a new work schedule.
The Old Nut?
What?
Yeah, they're out. And so are Moore's. Creekside. Oh,
okay. What?
But Moore's are volunteering.
They're helping now. Yeah,
okay.
All that.
Those are some big losses, though.
I know.
I mean, I'm sure they're, you know, how many people are buying nuts, but still. It's good to have them there and, like, have the FaceTime. Kimmel, what do you think's the biggest improvement we've made since year one?
Getting me off the stage from being the MC. I had to dial back my drinking.
How many years did you? How many years did you do that? Three, four.
Four.
Yeah.
But Mr. James.
Oh, when we got Paul James,
that's
what
huge.
A,
oh, Paul
James. He's fantastic. He's a promoter of the event. He knows tons of people.
Yep.
And he honestly is there the whole weekend.
He loves it.
And he'll leave. He's left for other events and came back.
Yes.
To help MC.
Oh, almost every year
he does. Truly believes in what we're doing.
Because it's always the same time as like Marion County Fair.
Correct.
And
right.
Maybe like Ashland County Fair or Crawford or one of those. And yeah, so he always has to leave and do these other commitments.
And he does a great job.
Yeah.
He is.
He really does. Yeah, that's
so well with everybody.
Yep.
And
we give him a campsite and he's happy. That's volunteer work.
Yep. But that's what that's what he does.
Like, I like using his talents.
He's that type of guy that he will travel wherever to help.
He will.
Oh, yeah. Paul's a great guy. He's smiling ear to ear the whole time.
He is.
The whole time.
Must be nice to be happy all the time.
That's by far one of his favorite events.
Yeah, he does always say it. Yep.
Well, and he's got a great voice.
He does.
Oh,
he's got a radio voice.
Yeah. True. All right, I've got another good ad that we've done, and that's all the lighting that Dan does.
Dan,
come sit over by that mic. Over there.
I don't have anything really new. So
okay,
really,
Do you have a plan for what you have and how to set it up? Yeah. I mean, okay.
Yep, I sure do. All so, right. And being that it's the schedule-wise, how it's falling this a year, it's going to be a lot easier.
You'll have it an extra day.
Yeah, you're off work all week.
Yeah.
That helps.
Good.
One thing I do have to say is Dan and I, his wife, we're on the Upper Sandusky Winter Fantasy of Lights.
Plug, never really
leave lights.
You guys are just all about exterior illumination.
Exterior illumination.
I've got a couple favorite moments that I'll bring up. One was when Zach climbed up that light rafter.
Oh, was that in the Hulk suit? Or
yes.
Yeah.
You were wearing a Hulk suit. What song was it? Was it Sledgehammer?
Maybe.
It might have been Sledgehammer.
We were playing late night. I think we were closing the fest that year.
Yeah. And Zach climbed up the light rig, like, mid-song.
Yeah. I thought I was going to get yelled at, to be honest
with
you.
While wearing a Hulk suit.
By who?
Yeah, exactly. This is our show, damn it. We'll do what we please.
They're insured.
Oh, that was so good.
That was great.
And then... who was the wrestler guy that came that one year?
Oh, My cousin.
Yeah.
Zach's cousin.
Yeah.
Madman Fulton.
Yeah. He's a big son of a bitch. Isn't he?
He is a big son. He's a big dude.
Like six.
Wasn't that Acoustic
Hookah? It was.
I think it was.
No. Because I have pictures of it. It was like 19 or. It must have been 19.
No, it was 21.
Shit. 21. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That was the last time we played.
Yep. Barth remembers.
Because that's what they came for. Was
that was the no snow, no show shirt.
Yeah. It was the no snow, no show
that he gave to Madman.
Yeah. And then I remember. Just to point on his strength, that you jumped, it was like later on, but you jumped off the stage and he caught you.
Yeah, after it was like one of our last songs and I jumped. My sternum has hurt ever since then. I landed right on his collarbone.
And here's the thing, not scarily.
Oh,
like,
look at this.
His
I'll take one.
Move.
Yep.
Whoa, thanks.
What
he's got cookies.
Lottie just brought chocolate chip cookies, homemade, freshly baked.
And you guys talk about Bill Latham. Thank you. Shredding.
Oh yeah.
The national anthem.
No, yeah. We've not.
That is that one of the best amazing. Moments.
He's doing it this year again too.
Well, Graham climbed up and planted an American flag at the top of the main stage, and everybody got up on their feet. And that was cool.
That was cool. Yeah, Bill Latham. Scott Duress has been there. Big Red Deluxe played a ton.
It's an awesome display of America.
It is.
I love it.
All right, we're out.
Love you.
Okay. So that ended the kind of regular session. You're here with just Graham now. And it's a couple days later. I've done some editing, lots of edits to try to get that to sound pretty good for you guys. I hope that it worked out. Anyway, we talked about the bands, and I just wanted to go through and name them kind of year over year, trying not to leave anybody out. So in 2015, we had LTD, Champagne and Bands are back, the Mud Sharks played, One Ton Diesel played, Big Red Deluxe, and then we had Eric Sours for the first time that year. So then we go to 2016. Last Minute, that was their first show. They played a 40-minute show from 1 o'clock to 4. From 1 o'clock to 1:40. And just a 40-minute show, and that's where they got their start. That year, we had a band called Living the Dream. The Wayfarers were there. David Gerald was there that year. New Park Drive was there. Steve Palmer, who was a guy that just showed up on his motorcycle as he was driving through town in 2015, came back in 2016 and played a set. Blues C was there. And then we had all the Duress Boys that year. In 2017... Nebdrilla made their first performance. Kreese, Ross, and Tomlin, an old school band out of Marion, was there. One Ton Diesel played again. Grape Jam in 2017 made their first appearance. Then we had the Fret Mashers, Booze Clues, Living the Dream. Were all there in 2017. In 2018, a lot, some of the same characters, but Living the Dream was back. We had Mike Perkins for the first time that year, and Acoustic Hookah was in 2018, and that was actually the first year that Buckland DJ'd. So then we go to 2019, a guy named Mike fought the E Trio Unum, which was a cool high school band with some great dudes in it that I taught, and they hopefully they're out there listening. Three Streets Over from Carrie played that year for the first time and were awesome. Had Christian Cole's band Dale Dozen played that year. We had Triple Shot. Mike Perkins came back. That was the year we had the Beatles tribute band, the Liverpool Lads. Then obviously in 2020, we didn't, we didn't have a show. And all the bands, I think, pretty much came back that we had booked in 2021. So 2021, great lineup again, at least in my opinion. Scott Dress played, Triple Shot played, Bootleg City Band, Gopher Baroque Band. Just like Gopher Baroque Band, if you haven't seen them, they're just super fun. We had Itrio Unum again, Shadow of Doubt, Three Streets Over, Tamako, Violent Vinyl. This had a great, cool lineup that year. Then in 2022, it was a lot of the same characters, but we did bring in the Liverpool Lads, Beatles tribute band. Not noticing any major changes that year. Maybe New Grass Station in there. And then that gets us to last year. We had Scott Duress, Big Red Deluxe, Crabgrass, Gopher Broke, Glass Forest, New Grass Station, Kaleidofolk, Bootleg City, The Y Store was the main act, Sundance Gypsies, Fret Mashers again, Bourbon and Vinyl, Last Minute, Bassnautics. So we've had a lot of bands over the years. I hope I mentioned all of you because we're super appreciative of you guys. We cannot possibly mention all the people that have helped out over the years, but I did want to give a shout out. He talked in here, but we didn't put him under the bus too much for how much work he does. But Greg Moon is really the man behind the scenes. Him and Brian Kimmel do a ton of work, but Greg's kind of our organizer. And so a shout out to him. I'm going to throw it over to me and Brian. That's what a Weinstock recap looks like.
That's what a Weinstock meeting sounds like.
Yeah, it was actually a fun conversation. Yeah. A bunch of people we spent a lot of time with, and I'm a little bit, I just want to let everybody know, there was some braggadocio going on in that episode, I think, but just because at this point of the year, we're usually pretty pumped about Weinstock and very happy with what we have going on. So,
well, we've also been doing this for a decade now. So it's something that a lot of people are pretty proud of. And we've got at least half of the group has been with it since the beginning. So it's something that, we let them talk about what they're proud of.
Yeah.
So.
There are a couple people that weren't here that do a lot of work. Really probably the main one is Drew Rawl.
Yep.
From Rawl Supply. He's like our treasurer, but he does, just helps out a ton the day of. And another person who was in on the first year that I remembered and we didn't mention was Walker Gottfried.
Oh, yeah.
Who was just in it for 1 year and helped do that first year. And then he's like, all right, you guys got this. And, he wasn't interested anymore. But and there's been a lot of people throughout the years that have just put in a ton of work. It is like, we said this at the beginning. It is a group effort. It's part of the Wyandotte County Young Professionals, yep. Sort of like a subcommittee of that crew. We've raised over $140,000 over the last few years, and all that money goes back into the community.
You know, I think that's the important thing to remember here is that if you're interested in doing some volunteer work and being a part of a big fundraiser, like this is our major fundraiser for the YP every year, and it's at least the most fun I've ever had doing charity work.
It is. So. We talked about how long can we do this and will the torch get passed on? And well, there's other ways we could raise, $30,000. Mm-hmm. And what we decided was like a purse raffle. Those are great. Anything that's going to raise money and go back into charity, go back to society is good. But we feel like we're raising money, but also giving people a weekend of fun.
We're doing something we enjoy as well.
Yeah, it's super fun. And the bands all love it. Yeah. Every band that's ever played asks if they can come back. I mean,
it's a great opportunity to put local bands on a big stage with a professional sound system and a professional stage setup and lighting and everything.
Yep. Yeah, and it's even, beyond the music, there's also a ton of beer. We have Finley Brewing Company, usually there, Phoenix Brewing Company, Marion Brewing, Carey Brewing, White Shutter Winery, and then this year, the new Trump Brewery from Upper Sandusky. So then we have Warped Wing. I mean, it's like a beer fest in a way, mini beer fest.
Certainly the kind of entertainment that you're going to get. If you like sitting down and having a good beer and watching some good bands play, like this is the best you're going to find within a 20 mile radius of Upper Sandusky.
It's the best darn music festival within 20 miles. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
It does have a long legacy of music fests around here. Boogie Hill Music Fest.
Yeah.
Boogie Hill. You know, back in the 70s, freaking REO Speedwagon and Can Heat over by McCutcheonville.
And then I saw something on Facebook not too long ago. It was a picture of Bob Seger getting ready to do Boogie Hill.
Yeah, you sent the other me that. One.
Yeah.
How cool.
Yeah. In Tiffin, Ohio.
There was Zeke Fest, which was a Wyandotte County Music Festival. I think they even called one year the Wyandotte County Music Festival.
I think it was, and I think that was Larry Teal that put that on.
Yep.
Or coordinated most of it, at least. Certainly. Yeah.
So and you know, there's more than beer. There's plenty of water. There's tons of food. A bunch of different food trucks there.
I think we have like 10 food trucks this year, or eight maybe, because I think two of them had to drop out last
minute. No, but two picked up. There's two extra. So I think there's 10.
Good.
And then, we also have wine slushies and, you know, free bottled water all weekend for everybody. Like, we try to keep it safe. It's kid friendly. There's kid t-shirts.
Yep.
There's art vendors. Centers.
We have tie-dye vendor. We have, wares vendors. Usually Creekside is there. They couldn't make it this year, but they are at least going to donate a shift at the bar.
Yeah, they're working. So that's nice. Yeah. there's just really stuff to do for everybody. Remember the year we had the elephant? The elephant that we got from out at the putt-putt. We brought it and it had like water. It was like squirt water out. We painted Weinstock on it. But anyway, bring your kids, bring your friends, come out to Weinstock this weekend. We hope everybody enjoyed this special edition Weinstock Real Stories episode. Anything else, Brian?
I think that's all. Come on out.
All right. Keep it real.